The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Star Wars Minute. It's the daily podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and on your call, go to Sublight.
No.
The Star Wars movies 1 minute at a time. I'm Pete the Retailer from PeteTheRetailer.com.
I'm Alex Robinson from ComicBookAlex.com.
And I am Crystal Beth from the Keep Calm and Game On podcast.
Welcome back, Crystal.
Thank you for having me.
You're here for minute 100. It's exciting.
That is very exciting. Almost exciting as 94.
94. We're minute 100 of Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens. We made it to triple digits. 100 starts with Phasma deactivating the shields, not with her finger. And it ends with Poe saying that they're almost in range.
Such an action-packed minute.
It is. There's a lot going on. The plot thickens here.
It's thickening.
But first, I want to start out with Han Solo, Harrison Ford. When he says, "We won't leave her here. We won't leave here without her." When Finn's concerned about Rey, he says, "You know, I forget exactly how he sets it up, but." That Han Solo says, like, don't worry, like, we won't leave here without her. And I guess it's supposed to be foreshadowing of sorts, but, like, his delivery is a little weird, and he makes the weirdest face.
He does!
You know that, there's that meme of, like, Harrison Ford is the only person who can be happy and sad at the same time. If you block the left side of his face, then he's sad, but if you block the right side, he's happy. He makes completely that face. Like, I did it with my thumb. I was like, oh, look.
Yes, he does. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's so insane.
Yeah, he's like the comedy and tragedy masks kind of morphed into one.
Gosh.
And, but it does kind of portray or convey this unsettling, like, wait, what? Like, when he says that and does that, it's like, don't worry, we won't leave here without her. Like, in a weird, like, what's wrong? kind of sense that you get a little bit, like, oh, wait, is one of them going to die? Is something going to happen?
Right? It's sad and sweet. It's almost too sweet. My God. Okay. Just the line itself, too. We won't leave without her. We're like, yeah, no.
We won't. That's what Chewbacca.
You won't leave without her.
Chewbacca probably should have said something there.
From a certain point of view. Do you think they would have killed Phasma had she not complied? I feel like Plasma should have called their bluff.
Huh.
Well, in the novelization, they have Phasma's head between Chewbacca's hands, and Chewbacca's smushing her helmet, and she's like, it's stronger than Wookiee's, and it starts making a creaking sound, and then does it.
Wow.
That would. So they're threatening her in the book.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because they, she gives in real easy.
So do you think they filmed that again and it just didn't look, just looked weird having, because that would be maybe tough to convey in a.
Yeah. I don't know if it was in the screenplay though. I just know it was in the novelization.
Oh, okay.
Hmm.
Yeah, I guess not apparently in the novelization.
There's a few differences.
Book is different than the movie.
That's what I heard.
That's why I always like reading the book after too, because it explains a lot of weird little things like the service hatch.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but I think that the way that it's filmed, minus the, I mean, pretending that I didn't know about the novelization, it's very, she's suspiciously quickly, suspiciously quick that she agrees, and it bugs me that they didn't kill her. Like, they had all the chance. Just, I know you're the good guys, but she's such a bad guy. And then I was like, oh, well, contracts.
They're kind of plan on killing her because, like, well, I assume they don't think she's going to escape from the trash compactor.
You know, Han did.
Well, I know, but, like, do you think he's putting her in there thinking, well, did he, like, leave her the keys or something? Or just.
He needs to be smarter than that.
Is that, like, one of those, you know, like, handcuffed to the radiator? Like, you could saw your...
Yeah.
You could, like...
Yes.
It's quicker to saw through your arm kind of thing.
I just think, like, they kind of just... They didn't want to have them just kill her in cold blood because, you know, Han Solo is not that kind of person.
Well...
But then it just
seems... stormtrooper that he just killed in cold blood, like, 1 minute ago.
That was totally different.
Right. He was a record producer. He deserved it.
So it just seems weird, like they kind of ended on like a nostalgia reference that doesn't really quite resolve the situation. Did they really throw her down a garbage disposal?
Well, they did.
Yeah,
there's a comic.
Oh,
and so that is established that they actually did throw her in a trash compactor.
Yeah, they did, and it's insane how she gets out. So it's Captain Phasma number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, I think it's 6 minutes is the amount of time it took her to get out of the trash compactor because the bombing of the Starkiller base blew a hole in the side of the trash compactor. And then she has to run to a computer and wipe the records of her using her security codes to disable the shields. Mm-hmm. And then she has to go back and see if someone else used access the shield so she could blame them for it.
Mm-hmm.
Which she does. Then she... Oh, gosh, what does she have to do? I think she has to... Like, she has to get back to a hangar. And she, like, gets out and she sees the end of Rey and Kylo Ren's fight and just keeps running past it. Hmm. And then gets into a TIE fighter.
And escapes.
And flies away and starts to exact her revenge on the guy that...
threw in the garbage.
No. The person that looked at the shields after her that she's blaming it on.
Oh.
So she's exacting fake revenge and gonna throw this guy under the bus for her mistake.
Hmm.
It's crazy.
I would have assumed that once Starkiller Base was blown up, all those records would be kind of like not around.
Yeah. Like credit in Fight Club?
Yes.
Don't they blow up all the credit card buildings so that everyone's credit goes to zero, even though
right.
it's stored on other computers?
Thing? Okay.
Right, at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's interesting.
Do you know, was there another one like that after The Last Jedi? That's my one hope. One of my main hopes for episode 9 is that Phasma will come back because she's just this ridiculous, hope. Like...
I hope so.
Jason Voorhees type of villain.
Yeah. I agree.
I think she has to. We still haven't seen her take her helmet off. I want her to.
We caught an eye.
Yeah, but I want to see a face. I want to see a mouth.
Yeah.
I think each time the helmet's going to get a little bit more damage. So next time we're going to see an eye and a mouth. And then, you know,
it's just like,
you're never going to see. It's going to be like Johnson on Home Improvement, where you never see her whole face in one shot, even though you could piece it together by.
Yes.
By, you know, if you watch enough of it.
Or just eventually she's just basically going to be wearing silver glitter. Because the armor will be just in so many pieces.
She's going to be Kesha.
She's going to be like, yeah, Guy Diamond. I need more Phasma. Again, I like her as that monster.
Yeah, me too. Especially because her voice is so sweet.
Right.
It's kind of funny in a way that our version of Phasma is almost like the way we originally thought of like Darth Vader as like this, you know, she's wearing this suit of armor and, you know, she keeps getting killed and they keep bringing her back to life, you know, like she's, you know, I guess she's not becoming a cyborg, but it's kind of like the way I thought of Darth Vader as just this killing machine who was, you know, very difficult to
stop. Right.
Obviously, that changed once we saw right. Anakin and all that.
Once we realized that he was once an 8-year-old boy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just looked on IMDb and it doesn't look like she's in the other Star Wars.
In Episode 9?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
But they could be tricking us.
Yeah,
that's true.
I hope they're tricking us. That'd be awesome.
Or just not, you know, yeah. A little cameo.
Yeah.
Credited cameo. Like Maz. She'll show up in a hologram, you know, in the middle of a gunfight. So as soon as the shields go down, they pick this up over at the Resistance base.
Right. Yeah, we cut to the awesome, you know, as if it's not... It's that very much kind of, you know, evoking Star Wars, evoking the motion picture without actually being it. Because then it's cut to these same like kind of tactical displays, you know, and as they kind of, you know, get information back and then they tell the X-Wings to go, you know, start their attack run, essentially.
Right.
I had a question about that.
Okay.
In Rouge One... In Rouge One, they established that ships in hyperspace cannot receive radio transmissions. Do you guys remember that?
Yes.
Can't receive radio transmissions?
Yeah, because there was one point where they were trying to contact... They were trying to stop someone from attacking or something, and they're like, we can't. They're already in... They've already jumped to hyperspace. Like, we can't radio them. Am I misremembering this?
I don't know.
Crystal, you remember any of this? It's your
I do.
Third favorite
I can't...
Star Wars movie.
I know. What's so funny is that if someone says something, I'm just going to believe them. I'm like, yeah, definitely. My brain starts to see it.
It was
I do remember someone saying that, but I can't remember what context. I mean, obviously, it's about hyperspace, but I can't think of where it is. I guess the Google.
But I didn't know if this was one of the things that was. Like mentioned as a Easter egg thing in Rogue One where they're like substace tracking. That was what they remember when they were looking through all the files trying to find the Stardust file and they're like, oh, what about this file? What about this file? And
right.
One of them was subspace tracking that they were working on, which they couldn't do at the time.
But now they can.
Right, and now they can.
Last Jedi.
In the Last Jedi, yeah. So right. That they were saying that was put in there to establish why in the Last Jedi they can track someone without hyperspace. But that still doesn't have to do with. I thought they specifically said they could not receive.
Okay, I'm reading. Ships in hyperspace can't communicate. Both are clearly in hyperspace. So I guess you can. You can if you're in hyperspace, talk to another ship in hyperspace.
Really?
Oh, okay.
Ships in hyperspace can't communicate.
All right. Well, then that, I guess, that's violated here then, right? Because in Poe and hyperspace, when they he receives this transmission.
Right.
Right. That's go to sublight at your on your call.
Right. So there you go.
Maybe they learned.
Plot hole. Just keep repeating plot hole over again.
I love plot holes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe he, because this seems to be a chain already, like Leia's like, okay, like, go for it. And then the guy from Lost says, like, all right, go for it. And then the other guy. I didn't write down the guy from Lost's name because he'll be around still.
Was it Greg Miles Grunberg?
No, the other guy. I did write down the guy at the end of the guy who does tell Poe to do that. But maybe
which one's the guy from Lost? The fish guy?
I know it's the guy from Lost. He was one of the numbers. So maybe he, like, Leia tells Lost tells Rear Admiral Gulch, or Gooch, depending, and the then maybe Gooch. he tells a robot, and that robot jumps into hyperspace and then tells Poe.
That's what PZ's there for.
That's what PZ's there for, yeah. PZ just, like... like jumps up and rockets like Ultraman into the sky
through the ceiling, just
jumps into hyperspace.
We do get a shot of PZ4CO here, right behind the screen,
behind Rear Admiral Gulch. Like in the script that I was looking at, it says Rear Admiral Gulch, but apparently
that's
canonically,
the person's real name.
Apparently, canonically, it's Rear Admiral Gooch, like Guich, Gooch, Gooch. It seems like they just read it. It was like a lowercase L, and they thought it was an I or something like that. I think
Sifo Dyas.
Exactly.
I like Gulch.
Yeah, I love Rear Admiral. Gulch. Rear Admiral Gulch sounds amazing. Sounds a. Well,
first of all, Rear Admiral is the funniest admiral to be. So
of course,
you're
yeah.
Off to a great start right there.
Right. It is.
And then Gulch. Gulch is a great Gulch. Word.
Mm-hmm.
Rear Admiral Gulch was played by Jeffrey Cassoon, who was Trinidadian born in Trinidad, and then a British Shakespearean actor, Royal Shakespeare Company, and of course his whole career in dozens upon dozens of well regarded stage acting credits is leading to this thing of just saying like go to sublight on your call in a Star Wars film. That's his whole career is like.
Can't just have anyone deliver that line. It has to be the right gravitas.
Like it's so interesting to find those people, like Dr. Colonia too, where it's just like, oh yeah, the funny lady who bandages Chewbacca. Oh, who's been acting on stage, well regarded productions of famous plays for years and years and years, and here she is bandaging a Wookiee.
I love that. It's like the best line too, though. Oh, very brave.
Our friend Chris Radke implied there was some romantic spark between those two. Do you believe that?
Absolutely not.
All right.
Okay.
I think that she, I've heard the argument, but it is, you can kind of feel the pandering when she says it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she's like, right. Very brave. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good job.
Yeah, I totally think it's more like, I don't know. It's weird because Chewbacca's like, 200 years old, so.
A little condescending.
For her to be,
right.
But, maybe he's not, he was like.
Boys just want to be told they're heroes.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rear Admiral Gulch gives the command to Poe, and we learn that Poe, I don't think it was it said earlier? I don't know if it was said that Poe is Black Leader.
No.
Was that established maybe during the first battle of, when they were attacking Takodana? I think they might have said Black Leader in there. They didn't say Black Leader in there?
No.
I think the first time they say it is during this battle.
Yeah, because it I think they just say Poe, like, we're with you, Poe, on that one. He just, you know, tells them what to do, and they say, we're with you, Poe. But I think I'm doing a quick search of the script, but I believe they don't call him Black Leader. And here's the first time we learn he's Black Leader. But weirdly, he's Black Leader, but tells Red Squad and Blue Squad to take his lead. So he's got this weird extra, like, I don't think there is Black Squadron. I think he's just Black Leader, and he's in command.
His ship's black.
Red Squadron and Blue Squadron. He's like, that's just how cool he is.
He's his own force.
Yeah.
He is, like, the entire Black Squadron.
He's like Leather Jacket Squadron.
He murdered them all. There used to be more.
Watch. Them all get killed in Last Jedi. Don't we see the rest of the squadron get all blown up?
Oh.
A Black Squadron? No. Oh, in The Last Jedi. Oh, some of them, yeah. I don't know. Are those...
We'll find out in 2 years.
Yeah.
I guess next year, technically, right?
No. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, at the end, so like... next calendar year. It'll be like 2 years from now, but it's next, like at the end of 2020.
Wow, that's crazy.
Hugh Downs.
Yeah. You still alive?
Me?
Hugh Downs?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said, I was like, wait, can you not hear me?
No, Hugh Downs. Is Hugh Downs still alive?
That's a problem that we have sometimes.
Okay, like, I was like,
still alive?
I was like, am I still alive?
Oh, this is the Sixth Sense podcast.
Oh. Oh my gosh. I haven't been alive for 50 minutes. Years.
What would that be called? The 60 seconds? That's right. The Sixth Sense minute would be the six.
Is someone doing Sixth Sense at this time?
I don't know.
We could just do it 6 seconds, and it's just 6 second podcast.
That's too short.
Wow.
You'd be there forever.
Yes, you would.
Speaking of being there forever, we see Nine Nunb flying his X-Wing.
Yeah.
He never struck me as an X-Wing guy.
Well, he was just a co-pilot at first, and then I guess he trained. And...
But don't we see isn't 10 Nunb fly a B-Wing?
Well, he was a hell of a pilot.
You want to be 10 Nunb is the one they wanted.
Right. But they can't afford 10 Nunb. No, it's a weird, I wasn't sure when I first saw this. I remember just thinking, like, oh, is that just, assumed it was just another Solistan.
Mm-hmm.
But then found out that it was legit, canonically, Nine and Nunb.
It's good to see him again.
Yeah, he looks a little bit weird because, you know, technology has changed. So he's not a puppet. He's a guy wearing a mask now.
Right. And he's older, even though he looks younger.
Yeah. It's just his head looks bigger because they fit all the stuff inside of it to be worn, and not like it's not like cables running down to some men standing behind him, I don't think. So ironically, like, because they were able to make the technology shrink the technology, then his head looks bigger.
Which is funny because they easily could have made that, I guess, in the ship. Easily could have been a puppet, you know what I mean? Like, you don't even see his legs or anything. That would have been the perfect place to make him into a puppet.
It would have.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why he, you know, was like that.
But I guess also then they couldn't use him walking around, because we see him in the base and everything too. So.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Which is so weird.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Why is it weird? They shouldn't allow aliens.
It's weird seeing him with legs.
Yeah, that is true. It's like when you see a Muppet with legs.
Yeah, they don't fit.
Weird.
Because to me, they don't fit. For his species, they probably fit perfectly.
Ice cream man?
I don't know what just happened. I've never heard that ring on my phone ever. I'm so sorry.
Sorry. Do you want to say whatever you just said again? Because I wasn't...
It's so weird because my phone's on silent.
Uh-oh.
That's strange.
This is how a horror movie starts.
Yeah.
Is the call calling from inside the house?
I don't know. It's just, I mean, he could have the same, like, for his species, he could look okay, but it's just weird seeing him with legs. Like, his body doesn't fit his head. His head is, I don't know. There's some people that, I don't even like seeing my bartenders outside the bar because I'm so used to not seeing them with legs. I don't like it when I can. I'm like, this is different. I don't like it.
But I would really like if Nine Numb was my bartender.
Yeah, I would too.
Although it would be, there might be a language barrier thing, but.
Just say, I want one of those. He'll know what you mean.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, if you had the chance to be in a Star Wars movie, I guess we touched on this earlier in the week, but if you had a chance to be in a Star Wars movie, what type of, like, background extra do you want to be?
Oh my God, literally anything.
Do you want to be an officer? Do you want to be a, what do you want to be?
I would love to be like one of the hot, skinny aliens that's all hot and like hot, but
you
that
like
would
like the Kaminoans.
Yeah. No. Yes.
Or anybody in Jabba's palace where it's like 8 million degrees and humid.
Yeah, I just want to be. I don't know. I would love to be one of the hottie Bugattis, but I'd probably end up being a creature in a suit.
But you would want, and ideally, if they give you your choice, you would want to see your face and be recognized that it was you.
Right. I would love to have all the boobs, but that character's already been taken.
All the boobs?
Yeah, in Jabba's palace.
Right. Yarna Del Gargan.
I'd just like to be the other one. Maybe I could be your sister or something. But honestly, anything. If they needed someone to hold a plant somewhere or a dead body, I'd play a dead body.
Oh, there you go.
I would love lines. It would be fun to have lines in the Resistance and be like, well, what are we gonna do? Like something like that.
Wow. I like how you went from holding a plant and being a dead body. Now suddenly you're demanding lines in the movie.
Right. Now you're...
Well, I mean,
you're...
now I'm thinking, like, how great would it be if I
questioning
could
the
speak?
Resistance.
I'm not sophisticated enough to be with the Empire, though, I don't think. They've got those tight buns, and they're all, like, my head looks very small in a tight bun, so I couldn't be in an Empire.
You can get a hat.
You can wear a prosthetic head.
That's true.
Yeah, get those guys who made the Nine Nund mask to make a mask of your head, and that way it'll look slightly bigger.
Giant. Yeah, you'd be like a weird, you'd be like a Crystal Beth mascot.
Guys, that's perfect. And then I would take it from the set and keep it so I could be that all the time. So everyone would recognize me.
You never have to like wash your hair or wash your face. Just throw that mask on whenever you want to go out.
yeah, that's what I want.
All right. We'll put you down for one Crystal Beth mask. All right.
Awesome.
I have some follow-up information on 9-9.
Oh, what do you have there?
That the there's several people brought 9-9 to life originally. The standing 9-9, the wide shot, kind of like original guy in a mask from Return of the Jedi, was Richard Bonehill, who I believe is no longer with us. He died a couple years ago. Nope, I'm confusing. Yes. Yeah, he did. He died a couple, like, 4 or 5 years ago. But the puppeteer, Mike Quinn, returned to do, came back as 9-9 to do this. He performed 9-9's face actions, I guess.
Okay.
And the voice of 9-9 in Return of the Jedi was Kipsang Rotich, a Kenyan student who spoke in his native Kalenjin language, as well as in Kikuyu. And he also returned. So he was the voice of 9-9, but here is the voice of 9-9 from Return of the Jedi.
That's so great. He
came back to do the voice. Yeah.
I love that. That makes me happy.
I hadn't heard that until just now, researching this. So
I think it would have been too controversial for them to recast the part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if he's still alive. Come on.
Well, apparently he learned, he became a minor, remember there was this whole thing that when people watched Return of the Jedi in Kenya, it was just like he was speaking their language and they were like, that's ridiculous. Why? Like, they thought it was funny. It caused a weird scene.
Yeah, I bet.
But then he became like a little bit of a film star for a bit, because he was like, oh, it's the guy who played like that guy in Star Wars. He was in Star Wars. So he was like a Kenyan film star for a little bit.
Like acting and everything?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't see any credits
great.
In IMDb, but that was noted in his Wikipedia page that it was like he became a little bit of a celebrity because of that.
Student films.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of little student films.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't imagine Kenya having a huge film industry, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. In addition to 9-9 and Poe Dameron, we see another pilot here. Another, I don't know if this is a red pilot or a blue pilot.
It's a red pilot.
And does he have
blue pilot.
Uh-oh. Are you guys going to...
The white guy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because he's got red markings on. Is that why? He's got red on his helmet?
Oh, wait, no, he's blue. Well, he's blue. He's blue. His name's Yolo Ziff.
Yeah, Yolo Ziff.
Yolo Ziff.
Yolo, baby.
Yolo Ziff. And that helmet that I was just talking about, his helmet was designed by J.J. Abrams' son, Henry. And if you look at it, it does look kind of like, I don't know how old Henry is, but...
37.
Yeah. It looks like a kid could have painted it.
Which is really funny because he is an artist. Like, his character is an artist.
Yolo Ziff, yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny that he's like, I'm going to paint my helmet. And it looks like a 5-year-old did it.
What's really
like
art.
Yeah, what's that, like, Sabine from
right.
Yes. Rebels? Oh, no, you don't like Rebels, so never mind.
I love Rebels.
I was trying to find out how old J.J. Abrams' child is.
Oh, okay. You're cyber-stalking J.J. right now?
Well, I have the security footage at his house, but like, they're not outside.
It doesn't have the age with it, you know? You just got
to
guess.
Roll back until you get to a birthday party. See how many candles are on the cake.
But then minus one, because there's always one for good luck.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, apparently Yolo Ziff was played by a guy named Stefan Grub. And
that's a name.
Stefan Grub is mainly known as an editor, and he edited the
first two trailers for The Force Awakens. So that big trailer that we all saw that with where like Finn pops up into the frame and that whole thing, which was well edited, was done by Stefan Grube.
That's awesome.
And he's currently working on episode 9, apparently, as an editor. And, you know, is, so that's, you know, as a, again, everybody in this is going to be somebody. There's no just like, it's weird, a weird balance of, you know, highly trained Shakespearean actors and, you know, stagehands and, you know, people's buddies, but all playing similar roles.
It's a nice, it's a middle mix.
Yeah. What's a, you know, it's the great equalizer, Star Wars, where you have, you know, a well reviewed run of Hamlet, standing next to, you know,
right?
Some schmo who was the...
Won a contest.
Yeah. Got water for the sound department. And then here he is saying the, you know, the same lines of like, I think that got him.
I guess that so goes crazy. Back to the very start of, you know, we have Alec Guinness.
Yeah.
As your
true.
Classy guy.
But yes, YOLO Ziff, everybody.
YOLO Ziff.
YOLO Ziff and Nine and Nunb and Poe Dameron and Rear Admiral Gulch. This movie is full of...
Such a good name.
Yeah. It's full of fun things to talk about.
Mm-hmm. All we need is a Hala so I can complete the set.
Exactly. That's all I had for 100. Crystal, do you have anything else from this? Or Alex, I guess, if you had anything to say.
No, that was it for me.
Nope, I'm good.
All right. I like that I got X-Wings in my minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Action is really heating up.
And there was a TIE fighter.
I've gotten everything.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, thanks for being with us all week. Hopefully, if you listening at home, you want to hear some more Crystal Beth, hopefully she'll pop in and join us tomorrow, because we do a thing called Week in Review, or Week in addition to our Weekend Edition.
You guys are doing so much.
These are all things on Patreon. If you go there, support us at various levels, you get various things. And one of them involves another episode coming out tomorrow, where we'll go back over some of the stuff that we talked about this week and just chat with Crystal for a bit. And then Weekend Edition is our slightly longer, kind of more current events kind of thing. So if you wanted to get both of those, go to StarWarsMinute.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Or if you feel like typing fewer letters, you could go to patreon.com/SWM.
That is fewer.
patreon.com/SWM. And if you want to support Sisters with Voices, you go to patreon.com/SWV. I don't know that they have a Patreon. I'm just making that.
What's Sisters with Voices?
Wasn't that an R&B group from the 90s? Am I conflating that with something else?
My area of expertise.
Yeah, Sisters with Voices, better known as SWV, American female R&B vocal trio from New York City. There you go.
Oh, well, look at that.
I don't think they have a Patreon, though. Let's see.
Their loss.
They don't need one, because they're a...
Yeah, they would have just gotten some free publicity.
Mm-hmm.
Rich, powerful.
But regardless, go support us, and you'll hear more with Crystal there, and then we'll be back here on Monday with a brand new episode of Star Wars.
Star Wars Minute!
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.